Anyways, good morning. You guys doing well? It's a good day, huh? And can I say it's a good year? Anyone having a good year so far? It's been a little few minor hiccups thus far, and one that I want to. It's not minor. It was actually incredibly difficult, very sad. But as many of you know, the Coleman family, David Coleman and John Coleman, have been on our worship team for a long time, and their brother passed away last Friday, 20 years old, and a lot of us know them, so I just wanted to extend the invite to the service today. It's at 3 o'clock at Grace Bible Church. Please come and support the family. They're doing well. Obviously, a really difficult scenario, but it's been great walking with David through this, and the way God's redeeming it has been phenomenal. So please come out and show support. It's at 3 o'clock, 3:30 today, 3 o'clock at Grace Bible Church, so we hope you can join us. But let's pray as we get into the word today. Can you stand as we pray just before the Lord? God, I thank you so much for this time, this season. And Holy Spirit, now I ask that you would come and lead us into truth. And Lord, right now we pray for every church in this region. We ask that you would give them a win today. God, we thank you for Cornerstone Church in Santa Maria with Chad. God, would you pour out your spirit on them, and Justin and Napomo. Come on, can we pray for the churches? We pray for Justin and Napomo at the Bridge. God, we ask that you do something new and special. And God, for every church in the five cities, God, we thank you that today is a great day. Today's a day of salvation. We thank you for signs, wonders, and miracles. And Lord, thank you that what you're doing on the Central Coast, we are not the epicenter. It's a joint effort. So Lord, we thank you for doing it on a mass scale on the Central Coast as it is in heaven. But God, in this room, right now, here today, would you fix our hearts, attune our hearts to heaven, to hear from you and you alone. And God, would you help me to speak a word in truth and in purity. And Lord, as we pray every week, would you interpret this message into each person's known language, into their own tongue, into their own scenario, their own season. And would we accumulatively be incredibly blessed today by your presence, by your word, and help us to be a blessing because of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Thanks for praying. I think it's so funny when churches think they're the only church. Because when Paul wrote his letters, he wrote them to churches, and I think the model's the same. I think this region, this community, sorry if you're new here, this is something that we firmly believe in, that what God's doing here on the Central Coast is for the Central Coast, and we're not better than anyone else. I hope you find a home. I hope you find belonging. But we're doing this together. And this message today is actually an example of that. I was on Sunday afternoon, I was watching football with my dad. And if you guys were here last weekend, he kept referring to something. He said, no, I'm not going to go there. You know, do you remember that? And you think, what the heck do you want to say, Pat? Come on, man. And so as his son, the privileged son that I am, I got to sit next to him on the couch and say, what was that thing? What was that? We all want to know so bad. And he will expound on that at some point, but it had to do with a little bit what I'm talking about today, but it had to do with possessing, taking what is rightfully ours, and it's this theme for the region. And so I just went to Joshua 1 because of that. It's a theme in Joshua 1 that God commissions Joshua that he'd give you him every place that he sets his foot. And then on Tuesday, I got a text from my brother Justin, who leads a church down the road in Napomo. And he said, hey, do you want to come to a meeting this afternoon? They do a group sermon prep thing, which is kind of cool, with a group of people. And so I said, sure, I'll come along. And I get into the room, and sure enough, he puts it up on the whiteboard. I just feel led. We're going to speak on Joshua 1 this Sunday. And so we sermon prep together. Mine ended up a little bit different, and so that was cool. And then Wednesday morning, my other friend who leads a church in Santa Maria, Chad, he sends me this like 7-page email and calls me and said, hey, I just sent you this long email on Joshua 1. He just gave me this whole vision for 2019 out of this passage in Joshua 1. And then we get to Wednesday night worship. Who was at worship on Wednesday night? Yeah, that was epic. Look at all these hands. That was amazing. Thanks for packing the place out and really going after it. That was a good time. And so I shared a little bit, you know, Joshua 1. And then Dennis texts me and he said, it's the craziest thing. God gave me this message out of Joshua 1 for the men's breakfast this Sunday. And so I'm not going to speak out of Joshua 1. Just kidding. I am going to speak out of Joshua 1. But what we need to understand, how cool is this that God would speak a theme to people, normal, average Joes. The three of us who lead churches are young and we don't know what we're doing, but I'm so thankful that heaven still speaks to the guys who don't know what they're doing. Would you agree? Yeah, come on. It's not conditional to a degree or a course. God speaks. Boom. Title of my message is The Focus Factor. We will see why in a minute. This iPad is not going, so if you just flip to that first slide, perfect, and I'll just cue you on that. Cool? Joshua 1, and don't skip the next one until I say, because it's really important, all right? It's more scripture. A lot of scripture today. Is that okay? If you said no, you can kindly find the door. So you're right. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river to the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a great promise, isn't it? That's a great promise from heaven. But as we go to the next few scriptures, I just want to point out that these first, five scriptures, this is from God to Joshua. This is a promise. This is something that Joshua had been part of as he was with Moses in the season gone by. And Joshua now has taken the leadership of a nation. And so God is reminding Joshua this promise that he has for this nation, and Joshua is now to lead. And so as we transition to verse 6, we'll notice that this goes from God's promise, his promise to man, God's initiative, and now we hear God emphasizing human's response. The amen from humanity, the response. And so we can go to the next slide. It says this: "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Can we just say that's a great promise for 2019? Walking into a new year, you can put this on your wall and say, "I am going to possess what God has promised. I'm going to take what is rightfully mine. Well, he will be with me. He will cause my enemies to scatter." It says things like, "I will make you successful, prosperous, never leave you nor forsake you. No one will stand against my purpose and promise for your life." That's a great promise, right? And like every great promise in Scripture, it demands an amen. And we can go to the next slide. Next slide. This scripture in 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this: "For no matter how many promises God has made," which is about 6,000 in Scripture, phenomenal, "they are yes in Christ." And so through him, the amen is spoken by us. So through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Amen. There you go. On cue. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. But more than just a word, amen is a response. Amen is an agreement to the covenant. Amen is an agreement. You sign the other half of the paper in God's covenant to you in the promise that he will fulfill. It's a partnership thing. And so divine initiative, a promise from heaven, and a human response are intertwined. They're connected at the core. Sure, God does things that we cannot explain that are just over and above, and he superimposes his will on crazy scenarios. And but as if we read Scripture, the way God works is that he finds average, normal people who are unqualified. He gives them a promise, and then if they say amen, they go on the journey together to see it fulfilled. Would you agree? That's Scripture in a nutshell. Average people who say amen, who say, "I will agree, I will carry with you your promise unto fruition." And so as we are stepping into this, which I believe really is a word for this year, leading into this year, the greater picture is that Christ would be formed in us. That's all we want. We don't have a growth plan. There's not much in the physical in terms of vision for our church for this year. But one thing we do know is that we have a deep hunger that Christ would be formed in us. That Christ in all his fullness and his character, his spirit, his authority would be formed in his church. And so one of the keys to possessing his promise for us, we're going to hone in a little bit and focus on some a passage here. We can go to the next slide. Joshua 1, 7 through 9, just to zoom in a little bit on this passage, says this: "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I have not commanded you be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Isn't that good? I'm going to probably say it more to get it in us. Look, where God is calling us will definitely require strength and courage. Would you agree? And as I'm watching just the climate, the temperature, and themes of the church as a whole, I don't need that. And I was walking around it, and I would probably bump into it when I'm praying, and my eyes are closed, so I'm just planning ahead. Removing obstacles. Yeah, right? The climate that I'm seeing is that God is actually luring his church, his body. For those of you who call yourself Christ followers, if you're not a Christ follower, thanks for coming. Thanks for hanging out. We're glad you're here. You don't have to believe to belong here. You're welcome. We love you. We hope that you find community and belonging. And we do hope our agenda is, it's all out loud and clear, that you find Jesus. Because he's the hope of the world. He's your hope. He loves you. Before the foundations of the world, he knew you, and he has a plan for you. Amen? Amen. But if you don't yet know him, just hang out for a while. So those who call themselves Christ followers, I just feel God luring us further and further away from the shores of our comfort. Would you agree? Yeah. Anybody who's a Christian just say, oh, that's what that's all about, right? He's luring us away. He's luring us into the open waters, into the deep. And yes, part of it, a lot of that is so he can show his glory on display, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, yes. I say yes and amen to all that. But I think beyond that, and maybe even before that, the reason he's drawing his church into deeper places out from their comfort is so that his church, his people, with fervor would seek his presence. Before all the sexy stuff, that there'd be a deep inner hunger for his presence. A deep inner hunger for his promise. Because the thing that I've discovered about being outside of my comfort zone, outside of my familiar, is I don't have any other option. All I have is him and his presence and his word and his promise. And as I get older, in my young age, I'm realizing that I'm so thankful for those moments where it's just him and I. And I don't have a solution. I don't have a strategy. I don't have something clever to say. What I do have is his presence, and I have his promise. I have his word. And so as we're diving into this season, it does take strength. It does take courage. And it takes an initiative on yourself, a response to actually live in the deep and out of the comfort. And that's where we need, this is what I wrote, this is where we need strength and courage, because he often calls us into things and places that will require us to actively trust and rely on him. To zoom in a little further, let's go to the next scripture right in the middle of this. We're zooming in a little bit further, and we're going to zoom in this far to verse 1:8. It says, "Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful." Anyone want to be prosperous and successful? Yeah. And so this is a really practical message today. Is that okay? Really practical. We're going to talk about what it looks like to be prosperous and successful. Maybe not so much what that looks like, but how to get there. And this is it. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. As those who call Equippers Church their home, can I say that this is our mandate from heaven. Beyond anything else, this would be our mandate as a church, that we devote ourselves to his word, devote ourselves to keeping his word and to meditate on it so that we will be prosperous and successful. I want a successful church. I want a prosperous church. And the bummer is a lot of you just thought about numbers. And a lot of us think about buildings. And I hope that that's our future, that we would have influence with people and we'd have buildings and facilities to serve our community. But true success, I think, is when Christ is formed in the depths of who we are. That's the type of church that I want. And so, simply, how do we cultivate a lifestyle personally and corporately that is immersed and sustained by his presence? It's simply this. We keep the book of the law, his scriptures. We keep his scriptures always on our lips. Always on our lips. Practical. How? You read it. You read his scripture. I left my physical Bible somewhere. Side note, anybody know how to rebind a Bible? Is that a thing? Let me see that thing. Can we get this done? This is falling apart. Anyways, we'll deal with my personal life later. It's got to be a way, right? Get that thing rebound. But you read it. You sing it. I was so challenged by my friend to start singing scripture. And last night, guys, this is awkward to sing scripture sometimes, especially if you don't have the greatest voice and there's no music. But as I was preparing for this, I was in my office by myself. And the amount of times I looked out my office window to make sure that no one had come in. One of my goals is to memorize more scripture this year. But one thing that I've always kept near my heart is the Sermon on the Mount. So I have large portions of that memorized. And I start singing it in my office and singing it and singing it. And this Pastor Chris Brown, not the rapper, singer, Chris Brown, he has this analogy of scripture that you put a verse in the middle and you jump from rock to rock to get perspective on the scripture. And so one rock that you look at scripture may be just reading it. One rock that you jump to just to see scripture and to meditate on it is to sing it, as awkward as it could be. Another one is praying it. You ever take scripture and pray it? And you just put it before the Father, this is your word, and I pray. You proclaim it, declarations. You memorize it. Guys, that does not come natural to most of us, but I'm challenged that way to memorize it. You study it, and ultimately, you obey it. And we're going to go through a series of scripture right now. Like I said, there's a lot of scripture. Next slide. Ephesians 5, 18 through 21. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. This is how his word, his scripture dwells among us. Sing and make music from your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Next one. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace and be thankful. Here it is. Let the message, or other versions say, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Next one. This is where we're headed here. A promise from Jeremiah the prophet says, this is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Next one. This is the fulfillment of that and how we have access to it. John chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. John 14, 23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come into them and make our home with them. John 15, 7 through 8, If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Did you catch that? Yeah. My words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So Jesus, the living word, John 1, in the beginning was the word, word was God. Jesus, the living word, wants to take up residence in us, thus making the written word a reality in our lives. So the author himself leading us through his written word to make this a living reality by way of his Holy Spirit. It's really practical today. Is that cool? Track, anybody take notes in church? Awesome. That's encouraging. You have like an extra, I hope you get a great parking spot for that. I hope the line is short at the restaurant you choose. I just feel like there's extra favor on those people. Jesus, the living word, wants to take up residence in us, thus making the written word a living reality through the Holy Spirit. And here's the deal. There's no quick fixes. There's no cheat codes. There's no skip-aheads. Because look what God tells Joshua again in 1:8. I don't know if I have a slide for that one, but he says this, meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. What does it mean to meditate? This Hebrew word translated haga literally means mutter. It means that one would continually mutter under his breath the promise, the law, the word of God, aka crazy people. Right? But that's what he means. Mutter it in your musings, in your reflection, in your ponderings. Would the word of Christ dwell in you richly, that it would be under your breath as you breathe, so would my word be richly among you. As I'm preaching myself today, this is what I'm hungry for. The Old Testament concept of meditation involves two things. First, a focus upon God himself and his works. Reflection. I would challenge you this week to put yourself in spaces where you can unhinderedly, is that a word? Unhinderedly. It is now. Thank you. Focus on God and his works. To fix your eyes on him. To ponder his promise. That's meditating. But the second part of that is an activity that was done aloud. If it would be the reading of scriptures aloud, the encouragement of one another aloud. There's something about when our brain hears our mouth speak that it solidifies something in our heart. When our brain hears our mouth speak, it solidifies something in our heart. You know, the best way to tell this is when you're talking nonsense. And you've been pondering and you've been forming this argument. Come on, spouses, you know what I'm talking about. You've been forming this argument. This never happens with us, but yeah, right. You've been forming this argument, and you bring it to your spouse, and you give your spiel, and as it comes out of your mouth, you think, I am the most ridiculous human being to ever grace the face of this planet. Sometimes it just takes hearing it out of your own mouth, but just the opposite with truth, with scripture, as it comes off your lips, and it makes itself manifest, power of life and death is in your tongue. As you hear the truth of God, the scripture, his word come off of your lips, it does the exact opposite of what I was just saying. It reminds you of your home. It reminds you of who you are. It reminds you of his promise. It brings a comfort. It solidifies what God had been working in your life. It is truth. It binds us in who we are, his truth. So that's what meditating is, to focus on God and his works and then actively out loud, whether it's reading scriptures or praying or confessing. The people of God are to have a default switch that releases, recites, and rehearses God's word continually. I have a slide for this. Meditation deals below the surface of our behaviors and reprograms our thinking, mindsets, attitudes, and motivations. That's what meditation does. It's something below the surface. It reprograms the very core of who we are. It's how we renew our minds. It's how we refresh our souls. It's reprogramming our thinking, mindsets, attitudes, and motivations. And that's how Christ is formed in us, his word. And so why does this all matter? Let's go to the next slide. Why does this matter that Christ would be formed in us, his word would dwell among us richly, his truth would lead us? Because this sad story in Acts 7, 36 through 39 says this: he led them out of Egypt and performed wonders and signs in Egypt. So God had been on the move. At the Red Sea and for 40 years in the wilderness, this is the Moses who told the Israelites, God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your own people. He was in the assembly in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our ancestors and received living words to pass on to us. He received living words to pass on to us, but our ancestors refused to obey him. Instead, they rejected him and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. You know anything about these stories? This story, there was an entire nation that was free from slavery. They were physically out of Egypt. They were physically free. They were physically, I guess you could say now, whole. They were set free. But in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. Did you know it's possible to be free but still a slave on the inside? You know, it's possible to be adopted but still live like an orphan on the inside. It's possible to walk this earth with no chains on, but every move you make, every deep motivation, every driving force in you acts like a slave. So this is why it's important, because it's not enough to just acknowledge God's law, to acknowledge his scriptures, but we must be careful to do what it commands. See, we've made discipleship about curriculum. I love curriculum. I love learning. I love growing. I love seminars and classes, and I'm all for that. I'm all for that. I hope you know more. It's helpful. But the front and center call here, as it was to Joshua and it is now, is obedience. Y'all came to church to get encouraged. I'm sorry. It's obedience. And there's grace. Grace to you. But the front and center call here, what discipleship is, as my best friend Chad puts it, he says, discipleship is simply shortening the distance between hearing and obeying. To be like Christ is to shorten the distance between hearing and obeying. Simple. But as we meditate on God's word, it's beyond just meditating on it, beyond just reading it, we must be careful to do it, because God connected Joshua's success not just to meditating, not just turning from the right or to the left, but to actually obeying carefully what the scripture had laid before him with the certainty of being successful. And so Joshua, his name means Yeshua, which would mean Jesus. And so there is so much in Joshua's life and Yeshua of the Old Testament that points and directs us and illuminates Yeshua, our Jesus, in the New Testament. And things like this, this is almost an exact copy, if we go to the next scripture, of what God commanded to Joshua in Joshua 1. This is our commission as the modern day church. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is another, "I'll be with you." This is another, "I'll give you every place you set your foot." This is another, like, this is your possession. This is your inheritance, to make disciples of all nations that we would reap as a church, to teach them to obey. Because here's the thing, it's striking that God's instruction here to Joshua are not about military matters, even though Joshua and the Israelites are going to engage with military conflict. There's battles ahead, but the strategy from heaven, the strategy from God, was not a military issue. It was not an arsenal issue. It was not even the amount of people in his army, which we would see issue. It was a spiritual issue. And the keys to his success were spiritual, and they were directly related to the degree of Joshua's obedience to God. Directly related to his obedience to God. I don't know about you, but I want to have success. I want to prosper. There are so many things that are laid ahead of me. I'm only 28 years old. I have a lifetime ahead of me of God's promise and inheritance. And what I know is the future hinges on a spiritual issue, not a physical issue. The future hinges for this church in the heavenlies, in the depth of Christ being formed in us. The future hinges on this obeying his commands. So for us as a church, this is a year of obeying and abiding in his word. A year of growing in prayer and communion with the Holy Spirit together. A year of carefully obeying what God had said and is saying to each of us together. And a year of possessing the promises of God. Can I get an amen? Abiding and obeying in his word, growing in prayer and worship and communion with the Holy Spirit together. And here's my main point. If I have one point, it's this. A year of conquering the world within so that we will conquer the world without. A year of conquering the world within so we can conquer the world without. That was what all of Joshua's call hinged on. Was this, Joshua, will you conquer the battle within? Because if you conquer the battle within, I will cause you to conquer the battle without. So that is for us. And lastly, the scripture, Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the laws and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I heard this really moving and convicting clip from a conference that was last weekend in Kansas City, the One Thing Conference. And I don't know if anybody watching that. A couple of people may have tuned in. Apparently not. The only one. And Francis Chan, if you know him, he's radical. I love reading his books and listening to wherever he's speaking and whatever. And if you're a pastor or have any affiliation to ministry, don't read the book he wrote called Letters to the Church. You'll potentially quit. In such a good way. It's so fantastic and it's so convicting and really helping me in my life. And he got up last year at the One Thing Conference, and he was going to speak directly after Mike Bickle. It was just a clean handoff. Mike Bickle had just spoke on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and this really challenging message that is the command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. The second, to love your neighbor as yourself. Keys can come up and play. We're wrapping up nice and quick. And Francis Chan, he stood up and he took the pulpit with tears in his eyes. He said, I'm unfit to speak today. I have sin in my life. I have sin in my life and I have moral failure. And he tore his shirt, grieving, and he started weeping. And he went down, hit the deck, weeping. And the whole place, it turned into this mass, there's thousands of people, mass ceremony of repentance. And he explained himself, and he said this, when I got up on the platform and I said that I had moral fail, that I had sin in my life, all of you probably thought that last night I was looking at porn or I was sleeping around, and you know, all of you probably jumped to that conclusion, but the sin in my life is that one command God gave me and I have not fulfilled it today. He just asked one thing, that we would love him with all our heart, soul, mind. It's convicting in the best kind of way. And so I'm not going to tear the shirt because I like it, but come on, Dale just challenged me. I don't need to. Not that I have it all together, but I heard the message last week, so I've had a week to go on the journey. But church, Equippers Church, can we just make that commitment to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and other gospels say strength? It's his command. As Joshua would fix his eyes, his meditation, don't look to the right or to the left, meditate on it. The law of Moses was a lot more elaborate than our law, which is summed up in this one passage, this one scripture, this one phrase. This is what we are to meditate on. This is that we don't look to the right or to the left. This is what mutters under us to love God with all our heart, soul, mind. Can I add strength? And the other is just important, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. And so if you are incredibly discouraged because you think, man, I don't have all the time in the world to sit down and meditate on scripture, I am in the same boat, man. I've got two babies. Like, the oldest one is 13 months old, so figure that out. Like, we don't have much time. But I had this simple conversation with God. It was on December 3rd, I think it was a Monday. I was driving back from Stanford after an appointment, and I just said, God, will you change my desires? Will you change my desires? And for millennials, are you listening to me? That day I deleted Instagram. Everyone was okay until I said that. And it wasn't like this big ceremony. I'm not saying this is the formula to all things. I just deleted it, and because I was concerned that my muscle memory, when I picked up my phone, would unlock my phone, scroll to Instagram, and open it, and I'd brainlessly look through things that I could care less about. Same thing with Facebook. Why would I go to the search and the F comes out first? I don't even, right? And so I just said, God, would you change my desire? And so in those moments when I'm holding Paisley and she's eating and I have nothing to do, that I would open your word and just make a moment. To make a moment. There's time. There is time. And there's grace. But would we meditate? And this message was called The Focus Factor. For this reason, in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 8, Jesus says this phrase. He said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And I was always so bummed growing up about that scripture. I thought, I'm not pure in heart. There's things that I think about, and there's things I perceive about people that I know aren't from God. They're not pure, and I'm on a journey with that. But that word pure in heart, it means blessed are those with one focus. Blessed are those, can I say, who don't look to the right or to the left. Blessed are those who meditate day and night. Blessed are those whose hearts are transfixed on this one thing, the promise for those people, the pure in heart, that they will see God. And I want to see God. I want to see God. So I'm done, but I would love to pray with you, and maybe God will give me a joke at the end to lighten the mood. I don't know. Yeah, I'll sing it. That'd be fun. Not there yet. Next thing I'm going to try is I'll try dancing at some point as well. That's it. Dancing before the Lord by yourself. I want to pray for some people. Simple. As we get started, we're going to go to a time of prayer. If there's anyone in this room that just wants to hunger for God's word, would you stand your feet? I believe that it's Him at work in us to do His will. To do His will. This is incredibly practical today, and would you, if you're comfortable, obviously you're comfortable because you stood up, would you just open your hands to receive a special grace today? Father in heaven, your word says that you're a type of father who gives good gifts to your children. And then the gift that we're asking for today is a deep desire on the inside of us for your word, for your truth, to dive in headfirst into your scripture, and not just for the sake of studying, not just to read another commentary about it, not just to know more, but God, as we open scripture, would we always leave knowing more about the author than we did about the text? In Jesus' name. And I ask for a grace, God. Some of us, it's going to be 5 minutes. Some of us are going to be one. Some of us are going to be able to spend hours in your word. But God, I ask, and I know that your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It's able to divide soul from body, spirit from flesh. And so, God, I ask that if it's 1 minute, it's 10 minutes, it's an hour, that sword would go forth and it would penetrate the depths of who we are. as we meditate on it, God, would you give us the ability and the desire to memorize scripture, to rehearse it, to murmur it, and God, let them call us crazy. But right now, I ask for a hunger, and would you change the desire in people's hearts, their defaults, when they're facing something hard. I faced this week. I didn't realize how sad I was that my grandma passed away. So Monday night, I was actually really sad. And usually when I want to ignore myself, I go to social media. But I didn't have social media, so I had to go to his word. Just to be honest. So God, would you remove all barriers? Would you remove all crutches? Would you remove all addictions? That in those moments, God, we'd go to the source. We'd find you in your word. You make it come to life. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us into truth. And man, I'm hungry for some Muslim encounters. Like we hear our Muslim friends and they find a Bible and they just open it and words start physically popping off the page. God, would we have those type of encounters with your word? Jesus, the word, the living word, would you come to life through your written logos word? In Jesus' name. Next group of people I want to pray for, you can have a seat. It may be the same group of people, I don't know. But I want to pray for people. I want to ask God for a grace to obey his word. A grace to obey. If that's you, would you stand? A grace to obey his word. I'm responding, I'm standing today. Don't feel bad if you're not standing. People always judge people, okay, Mr. Perfect, but it's not true. Just, you only respond if you feel led to respond. But again, with hands open, posture of receiving, I right now release a grace to obey. Simple. A grace to obey. God, would there be, again, a deep desire in us to do everything that is written in your word as you instructed Joshua? And I break off shame from people's lives right now that are living in shame based on how different their lives look to what scripture would say a life should look. And we just say, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. John 3:70, he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And so if you are feeling condemned, you can believe that as not from God, it's from Satan himself. And right now, we cast off and we cast out any demonic influence that would try and rule and reign over our spirits to make them feel condemned, not fit for use. And we say, be free in the name of Jesus. Be free in the name of Jesus. Condemnation, shame, you have no place in this church. This is a God church. From that place, God, we thank you that we would have the ability to do your word, not just be hearers of your word, but to be doers of your word. And God, the world would see what that looks like in our lives. We would be as Christ was, the word in flesh. In Jesus' name, grace to obey. Amen. The last thing I want to pray for, anybody out there, just know you've got something to possess this year. You just know there's some things that are rightfully yours. I want to pray for supernatural, like God just redeeming things. We've heard stories of literally things were lost and gone, and inheritance thought they were lost and gone, and things physically, monetary, that had been displaced and thought they were gone forever, and God had miraculously brought them back. We've heard so many stories. And so, first of all, I want to pray for that an actual redeeming or a bringing back of an actual inheritance that is yours. Maybe it is property. Maybe it is land. Maybe it is an inheritance. Whatever it is, if that's you, would you just lift your hands to receive something physical that you need God to bring back to your life that you feel is rightfully yours? And so, God, right now I release that. God, I thank you for orchestrating behind the scenes. Come on, church, can you connect your faith with mine as we pray? God, I ask that you would arrange meetings and appointments behind the scenes, and people would see numbers that they didn't see before. And God, web pages, emails would pop up. Whatever it takes, God, that you'd work on behalf of your people, that we would possess what is rightfully ours in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for inheritances. I thank you for properties. I thank you for things that have been gone for generations that are now coming back. I thank you for things that are sentimental that have been lost and gone, and things that bring value and add life to a home. I prophesy that back into the home in Jesus' name. I feel like that was specifically for a few people. There's been something physical that got taken from your home that left a gap, and God's going to bring it back, to bring the life back to your home. Lord, we thank you. We call that forth in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah, that's the next one. If you know there's salvation, that there are people in your family and it's not okay that they're going to hell. It's not okay that they're living in bondage and addiction. There's an inheritance. There is a promise from heaven. Luke 19, verse 10 says, Jesus came to seek and save all that was lost. And so right now, we call back all that's lost. That's the promise. That's the rainbow. That's the covenant from heaven, that you would redeem, you would restore all that's lost, God. Every broken heart would be mended. Every child away would come back home. Every addict would be set free in Jesus' name. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of the Lord's favor, and we choose to believe it wholeheartedly, and our hearts will meditate on it. And we will not look to the right or to the left to how strong the addiction is. We won't look to the right and how far gone they are, but God, we will fix our eyes, and we will see God at work in our families and our friends and their lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Anyone else just with a promise from God if you want to receive? I just call in that promise. That promise, as God said to Joshua, just as I had spoken to Moses, just as these things of old have been promised, they've been prophesied. I know for me, there's some things. I have a notebook that I keep my prophetic words in, and there's some things I want to see happen. There's some things I want to see happen. And just again, Nate Egan came to me this morning about this Pirates Cove thing. Come on, there's some things that have to happen in the spirit on the Central Coast. And so, Lord, right now we position ourselves to possess all that you've promised. We position ourselves and we take you at your word when you say that there's no place that we're going to go that we won't give us. Wherever we go, wherever we set our foot, you'll give us and you'll be with us always. And God, thank you for strength and for courage. Strength and for courage to possess all that you promised, and help us to focus. Help us to focus. God, will we be the people with the focus factor? The focus factor. That we would see God. The focus factor to meditate day and night on your word. To mutter it under our breath. That we would see you in your fullness. And ultimately, God, we're hungry that you yourself would be formed on the inside of us. Hungry. Anyone hungry? You will be filled. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I will repay for the years that the locusts have eaten. Yeah, that's good. Those who go out sowing in tears will reap in joy for laughter. They'll reap an inheritance. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. There's inheritance. There's things that are rightfully ours. Amen? There's things that are rightfully ours. And through Scripture, we can possess these promises. Amen? Amen. Before we go, I want to, you can have your eyes open, the whole thing. We do this every week. There's no formula to it, but I want to extend an invitation to somebody who might not know Jesus personally, who might not be walking with him in relationship. It's really important that you do that. He himself, Jesus Christ, was God in flesh. God says in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So in theory, God himself, the all-powerful, the almighty, the all-creating, humbled himself and didn't consider that something abused his own advantage, but he considered himself a slave and a servant here on earth. He humbled himself and took on humanity so that he would live a perfect life on earth, die a death for which he was wrongly accused for, falsely accused for, and he would be hung on a cross, shamed. He would be abandoned by friends. His mother would watch him be murdered on a cross. The entire weight of the world, the sin of the world on his shoulders. separated from the Father for a moment. He carried the full gravity of our sins on the cross and died a brutal death. Not only did he die, he was in the grave 3 days, but then he rose again. And he lives today to make intercession on our behalf. And he left with him the Holy Spirit, which is our comforter. He's our guide. He is truth. The word literally means little Jesus. He left himself with us. But so all that whole spiel I just gave you comes by a simple invitation. Super easy. Like, it's a massive package deal that it just takes one signature. Just takes saying, I believe. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you have the power to save me, heal me, and sustain me. And so, again, with eyes open, just as a family, if there's anybody in the room that would like to pray a prayer with us to reconcile to God, or maybe it's the first time, maybe it's been a while, anybody who would like to enter into that relationship today with Jesus, would you just give me a wave? We just want to pray with you in this moment. Anybody at all who want to enter into that relationship with Jesus? If not, that's cool. We're all believers, and maybe you just need a moment, but we always want to extend that invitation. Awesome. Beautiful. Would you mind standing up? I don't want to put you on the spot, but awesome. We want to pray with you as a family. And anybody else who would say that's me today, I just want to rekindle that flame with Jesus and walk with him, that his word would abide in me. Awesome. Anybody else? Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you for responding. We want to pray with you as well. Anybody else, just before we pray, this is fun, guys. This is actually a really fun thing that you can be a part of right now. It's a huge privilege. And anybody else? Cool. Awesome. Beautiful. If later you decide to, I hope you don't get hit by a bus on the way out. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. What I meant to say was, if ponder it. I was so challenged by Middle Eastern, the growth in the Middle Eastern church. The typical time for someone to convert to Christianity is about 5 years. It's about 5 years of them pondering and considering, because they know what it's going to cost them. So if you need some time, take your time, please. Know what you're getting into. But for these two, I'm so thankful and just believe that God's going to be so graceful towards you. So guys, can we pray together? And if you're praying for this for the first time, maybe it's been a while, I believe that this prayer is not just words, it's not just repetition, it's not religion, but it has the power to transform your life and alter your destiny forever. So church, can we bow our heads and pray together loudly as a family? Father in heaven, we thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. And today I accept your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy. I thank you for being my friend. And I accept your Holy Spirit as a deposit for what's to come. I trust you with my past. I trust you with my present. I trust you with my future. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, can we celebrate that? Yeah. Yeah. Woo! That's good.